time is 6:04, according to my phone, p.m. on August 9th, no, 10th, August 10th, 2022, and I'd like to call the meeting of the Charter Review Commission to order. Would the Secretary please call the roll?
Yes. Commissioner Budding?
Here.
Commissioner Disharoon?
Here.
Commissioner Hopita?
Here.
Commissioner Nzuzo?
Here.
Chair Schofield?
Here.
And for the record, we have Rachel McDonald Hernandez out, and Todd Glanz is in also.
He's not here yet.
Correct.
Yeah, okay. Public comments. Public comments is a section on the agenda for members of the public to address the board on items that are not listed on the agenda. I don't believe we have any public comments.
No, we don't.
Can they send e-comments?
Yes, so we have it set up till about 5 o'clock is the last time from when we post on Friday till 5 o'clock today.
Are there any e-comments?
No comments.
So there's no comments of either type. Next item on the agenda is item 4.1, discussion and action regarding preparation of a ballot argument in favor of the Chula Vista City Charter update measure to be submitted to the voters on November 8th, 2022 ballot. Before I ask the question, the City Council and Mayor voted 5-0 to accept our proposed charter amendments. There was one small adjustment that City Councilmember Galvez proposed, and I think that was added in, right?
Yes, it was.
I'm not sure I really understood it, but it was added in.
It was added in. So minor as to not warrant any further discussion.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
And intentionally drafted that way, too, I could tell from...
Well, it was about, you know, if you're convicted of a felony, you lose your seat. And the wording was added to make it clear that if you pled to a felony.
We didn't actually add that.
No, no.
The language we added was in the judicial procedure section to expand that somewhat.
Or other state law proceeding.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Something like that. I'm not a lawyer, so I don't understand.
I was taking notes. I haven't.
And then the level 3 ones, just to recap, they accepted the change for a city attorney to be a resident. Experience is 10 years. The mail-in ballot is an option for a vacant city council seat if it's certain term left.
Or mayor or city attorney, any elected.
Right, any elected official. If the number of months left is a certain requirement, then they can do that. If it's over a certain amount, they have to have an election. Is that right?
Yep, and in either case, it's in their option to have those elections be a mail ballot.
Mail ballot only. So the ballot we just had was not really mail ballot only, because you could drop it off at different places. So, and then the requirement for the residency for boards and commissions is in the charter. The shall, blah, 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 be approved says that we remove the qualified elector requirement. It doesn't mention that they have to be a resident in that part of it. But I don't think that's a problem.
No, we don't. We thought that was the best way of describing it, because that really explains the change. You used to have to be a qualified elector. Now you don't.
Right.
Residency is generally still a requirement, except in some nuanced situations. To explain all that with the words that we have and the 75-word question, we didn't endeavor to do it.
Because right now, even there are some people on commissions that are not qualified electors.
Yeah, and they can provide that by ordinance through four-fifths vote.
Yeah. So your question, I think that addresses your question.
Yeah, it's just I think when we draft the, because one of the things he didn't mention was that the proposal, the ballot argument in favor is going to be from Jim. So it's something that he's going to want us all to participate in and contribute. And one of the things we were talking about is that the most likely controversial level 3 thing would be that non-qualified elector kind of thing. So it's something that we need to deal with in that language. So.
Yeah, and I'll, of course, address with 500 words, right, to spare, as opposed to 75, a little bit more specifically the nature of the change, you know, that was made, and then...
And then
your
I
arguments
get,
can add, you know, can explain.
What do I get? 300 words? Is that right?
300 words. That's right. And there's a special way for counting them.
There's
so,
always a special.
Yeah.
Way.
So the city clerk asks that we give her drafts before we finalize it. She'll give us a word count so that we make sure we're on track.
Yeah.
So yeah, and they're available. They turn that around very quickly.
Yeah.
The nice part about the way the city clerk counts is usually is a pleasant surprise.
Mm-hmm.
If you do your standard word count, it usually is a handful of words less than that
right.
when the city clerk applies her magic.
Yeah, I don't anticipate any problem doing under 300 words. As I told City Attorney Guggen, I had an English professor who would give us assignments and we had to write in one page. And I thought, Moby Dick, critique in one page. And then I thought, hey, this is pretty good. I'm going to turn this in. So it can be done. But you really have to distill it down.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what we're here for. So I want to get...
One other note, if I might, Mr. Chair, of
yeah.
what they did not do. They did ultimately follow our advice regarding the residency durational requirements for elected officials
oh, right.
and relented on that and didn't really push that at all. Megan did a really good job communicating in the written staff report how definitive our conclusion was in that, and there wasn't really a ripple.
You gave your very staunch advice to the mayor, like, this is constitutional, we can't change this.
Yeah, and they were good about it. I mean, they usually are.
They sounded like us for a second in there.
Yeah.
Well, let's get into it. I already did! That crazy Azusa kept ramming it
down. You know, the restrictions on
yeah.
elected officials' residency
yeah.
requirements, you gave 6 or 7 resources or references.
And it was
showing that you can't do this.
Yeah. State law, right? It's in the Constitution.
U.S. Constitution.
Yep.
Yeah.
Is
and
it U.S. Constitution and state?
It's state law interpreting the Constitution.
Oh, I see.
And the interesting thing that Padilla pointed out that kind of disrupted the force, I guess, for a little bit was that, in fact, the state legislature has special rules that apply to themselves that, in fact, do impose durational residency, you know, requirements. Megan can explain to you better than me how that got accepted, but we're kind of a little
I
bit at a loss.
I don't know how to explain
why that survived.
What is it a court decision that?
No, it's a California constitutional provision that requires the legislature to have it's like a 1 year, and then there's a 1 year and then a 3 year and a district requirement. So it's a very long durational requirement. California Constitution provision, I did not see any case law. I wonder if it's never been challenged. I don't know if that's why it stands. That would be my guess, because that is completely at odds and had me wondering, how is this standing? They're pretty clear on the case law interpreting the 14th Amendment. I don't know how that wouldn't apply.
Yeah, and we're not aware of any magic to a California constitutional provision that could thumb its nose at the United
yeah.
States Constitution.
As opposed to a charter provision.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So, be that as it may, our advice was right. Megan backed it up, and they ultimately relented. So we don't have to worry about that being a possible... right, lightning rod of legal challenge to what otherwise we think is sound and a perfectly defensible charter proposal.
Right. And the things that did not get in was the legislative council, the suspension of elected officials being charged with a felony.
That's it?
Just those two.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And those two, our work going forward, we can rework those and re-present them kind of thing.
Yeah,
totally.
And interestingly, both of those really affect the city council's powers directly. So that should
coincidence?
It easily should be separated into its own proposal, proposed amendment, rather than lumping it in with others.
So they had no problem ignoring the conflict of interest provision, the conflict of interest that's currently there. So
yeah. But anyway,
it was all very interesting.
So anyway,
but no big deal.
I mean, these are some samples. I need your input as to what to write, and once I get that, I'll be running it by you guys, obviously.
Yeah, so
several times probably.
Yeah, so the way that happens is a little limited by, you know, the Brown Act and legal requirements. Really, if people have thoughts for you that are group thoughts, they really need to give them to you, you know, tonight. If you wanted to form, if there was a group of you that were interested in meeting, you know, privately to assist Mr. Chair, if that's what you're looking for, to provide advice, it needs to be less than a quorum of you to provide that input.
Me and one person.
I'm sorry?
Me and one other person.
You and two others.
Oh, okay. Less than a quorum.
Yeah. And so that's an option, but anything, you wouldn't be able to solicit input from everybody separately, because that in effect creates a Brown Act
meeting. Well, right now.
Right now you can, because we're in a Brown Act meeting. So it's either now and or through a subcommittee of you that you could form tonight to assist you in your discretion with the vote of the board, Mr. Chair.
Well, I'm open to meeting with two other people if people want to do that. Or everyone can just give me your feedback now, and I can, you know, try to incorporate what seems to work.
And as a reminder, the deadline for the final argument with signatures, so there are, if it's the chair submitting it, then it would just be your signature on both the actual wet signature on the official form and on the argument itself. The deadline is the 18th,
right,
is the day by which the clerk needs it.
And I guess that is, the city council's said me.
Correct.
So I think we're stuck with that.
Yes.
Yeah, but you could choose to get whatever forms of input you would like to.
Right, input, but I wouldn't get other signers.
Yeah, technically they allow up to 5 signatures.
Yeah, but the council
they indicated that you were a designee.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. But, which is fine. Yeah. That way you're not responsible.
Yeah, you can have your words potentially there, but you can blame the chair.
Exactly.
So in this ballot argument, obviously, you probably all know, you've seen it in the ballot, it'll get printed in the ballot itself, so people will see those, they'll read the question, there'll be a link to the actual full text on a website, and then, but the arguments in favor and against will all be on the back, printed on the ballot.
Okay. I always wondered who wrote those things. And
yeah, now you know.
Now it's me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay, so, Commissioner Nzinza, you were talking about something before it started, I think. Were you talking about pro arguments that you wanted to know? Okay. Comments?
Yeah, I always advocate, when we're writing something positional, even if it's not complex, one voice. So I think it is the logistic of burning desire for feedback to you. You digest and you translate it into your one voice. And that's the best documents I've seen in the commercial public community. It's that one voice. Personally, right now, the way I feel is it has gone so very well and united, even with the spirited dialogue that we've had over and over and over. I think positionally right now, we're in a united situation where I wouldn't expect a bunch of burning desire input to go to you. So conversationally, I'm just throwing it out. Do you desire assistance or an ad hoc? I have confidence that you understand the nature of the edits to the best degree, practically anybody in the room, certainly on the commission. And I have faith that you could craft it, you know, on your own. But if you need input, do you want us to do an ad hoc and meet tomorrow night, or, you know, that, I'm just throwing that out as ideas.
No, it's a good question, because I hadn't really thought about it. My assumption was that I would make a rough draft with points, run it by the city attorney's office. You would get back to me and say, you forgot to mention this, or I wouldn't bring this up because it's too detailed for the short space I have. That was my thinking. Then I would revise it, of course, and send the final thing back to you.
Yeah, and given the short fuse.
I think I was thinking tonight I would get the feedback as to which points are important to put in there to make, you know, make it clear to the voters what's happening.
So, I understand that. That's a good position.
Which is fine, but I'm quite happy to. I mean, tonight I'm getting your feedback. I want that.
Yeah, I mean, generally the classifications. You know, if I were to try to prepare this document, I would stick with the approach that we've had all along. That there are, you know, some updates that are almost a requirement of the lack of updates and the progress of time against the charter. The constant evaluation of the charter through the commission work and through the Uber users has just been a voyage of discovery, things that we need to edit as far as phraseology or spelling, grammar, technology advancing beyond the way it was listed. So there's that category of the level one stuff that would just be a very clear and concise statement. The length of time between edits warrants corrections because of the usage of the charter.
You said you mentioned the constant, what was it?
You think I can remember what I just said? Thank you for that confidence,
Jim. I played back on the recording.
No, I it's...
Well, anyway, it was the constant...
The usage of any document
feedback, I think, is fine.
Really winds up creating a bucket, whether you do it documented or in your head. It's like, I'd like to improve that. I see phraseology or grammar or, once again, technology. And I think that part of it is a really clear and concise statement. And if I were crafting, I would kind of stick with that, you know, justification by category.
Right.
Because that's really what I see as being the one thing that we did very well, is giving a salient categorization so anybody could read it and go, okay, now I see these. They're kind of in the noise. They're just corrections that, you know, because of time, we need to make.
Yeah. One of the things I emphasized, I don't think I did last night, but maybe I did, was that we had a good process, where we looked at the whole thing. City Attorney's Office created four focus areas. We had ad hoc committees that met. Then they came back together as a group. So I want to validate the process.
I agree.
I think that's similar.
Yeah, that's one of the things I'm getting at. And I like how you described it in the summary. The feedback, the term that always comes to my head is the super user, that we got from the various department heads that actually gave us some really key feedback.
From the whole city.
Yeah, and that would be another section along the lines of the type 2 and type 3 is the users of this document that are considered experts, you know, for good reason, have advocated some minor structural changes, and that would be a pro to tell the public that the people that are using this the most have come up with some improvements in collaboration with the commission, and that would be another type of insert if I
have
were crafting.
To be careful not to say they've endorsed it.
Certainly, to contribute to the edits.
Yeah.
That's how, and I think your summary says it very well.
So I would be careful about that because the process is really important, and that definitely needs to be mentioned, but I think it really needs to lead off with the fact that we tried to create a document that's easy for everybody to read. And that's a very populist kind of argument, and that should attract everybody. And then go through the process, and I would also do it in, and you'll like this, the argument in favor of Proposition A by Mayor Cox, who...
Yes, I thought that was a good one.
Like somebody else used to be a teacher. So I would follow that because and just make it easy to read. Don't do something like this or don't do something like that.
Right.
I mean, that's just, and I would not talk about the levels either. So that's just too.
Yeah, I think it's too much sausage.
Just exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
And just say we made it easier to read, and in doing this, we've done blah, 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 and you can mention the level three things as the blah, blah, blah.
Well, what I was thinking about, once I set the what's happening, the basic thing, and the process, and the process that would validate what we've done, is then to look at the shall, blah, 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 be approved, and take up, in order, the items that are listed on that shall statement. Because I like having, this is my personal preference, if you list five things, when you're commenting about them, comment them in the same order. So people can, oh, I see, I see, I see, I see. And that way, it's easier for people to follow. Because it is very complex. My sister was saying today, she's in Florida, she says, I read those arguments and I never understand. I just look to see who's for it and who's against it. And, which is not a bad strategy, actually. But
given the complexity, it would, and the reason why I think you take a construct approach of I'm going to describe the type one, because that's just clarification and correction.
I think that's mentioned in the shall statement. I don't have it in front of me. I don't think it's mentioned specifically as level one.
No, that's not.
I'm not proposing that we list level one. I'm proposing that in describing the edit itself and in advocating a four, you mentioned the reasoning that we use to come up with many, many, many of the edits is correcting the document because of grammatical improvements, I'll say.
Yeah, I think that's mentioned. Where,
I should have printed it out for all of you. I do have one that you can read about. Because the beginning, the formatting changes, you may be able to, it is in that document as well.
Yeah, I think it's in there.
Yeah. It's right there on the top.
Yeah, so you're saying the way we described the level one and level two changes and what they did, that's the thing that goes in there, not we made level one changes and here those and level twos. So.
Yeah, right. I agree with Jan that we shouldn't get into the categorization.
Yeah, that was our
but for the,
not the voter system.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think that is that is transparent on our approach. Mm-hmm. And I think that's important for the statement to capture how we did things.
Right, right. It starts out, shall the measure modifying the city charter to conform with state laws, eliminate outdated provisions, clarify ambiguous terms, reorganize and reformat to improve usability, that would be the first point. Require residency and increased experience for the elected city attorney could be the second point. Mm-hmm. Remove the requirement that most board and commission members be qualified electors would be the third point, and to allow city council to take action at special council meetings, use mail ballots to fill vacancies, and approve bonded debt under state general laws, that would be the fourth. Is that four? Fourth.
Yeah, and I have some thoughts on
so
that.
I don't know, that was one way of organizing it, but that was just my...
The first point, though, it starts out with complying with state law, it's like, start out with the, we've taken care of typos, we've made it easier for you to read. Just, that's the real selling point.
Yeah,
that should be at the top.
It sounds complicated in the beginning.
Yes, I can say that.
Yeah.
And then you can say, and in doing that, we've also made sure that the charter complies with state law.
Conforms, yeah.
Well, the key point there is improve usability.
Right,
that's
right.
Yeah.
And so I might put that at the beginning of that little... Three or four sentences.
Easier to read, understand.
Is there a simple word for usability? Because it
makes it easier for everybody to read.
Instead of usability, people are like, "What's that?"
That's a good point.
I wouldn't say use. I would say make it easier for people to read.
Yeah.
To read and understand.
Usability. Right. Yeah, it becomes
read and understand. Yeah, that's even better.
I do a lot of reading when I don't understand.
Because the common complaint from the electorate is that they don't understand the language in the ballot or whatever.
Right.
So
I had some plaintiff's attorney today tell me that he was going to have his client clarify her verified discovery responses from saying she had no property damage to now saying she has property damage. It's like, really? You're going to have your client admit to perjury then? That I didn't understand.
So that's a good point to start out with saying that we want to make it easier for people to read and easy for people to read and understand.
I like that approach. It's almost like a mission statement.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is why we did it.
Which is why. It's exactly why we did it.
I mean, that was basically the majority of things that were done.
Really was, yeah.
Took a,
and the best Herculean
effort.
Right?
That was what John Mood said, a Herculean effort.
Yeah.
Which actually was your effort, not so much. It was ours too, but.
Everybody had a lot work on it.
The second point was, which really would be very easy to write, require residency and increased experience for the elected city attorney.
So that, I would say, would allow the city council to appoint people who are residents as opposed to being qualified electors.
No, this is city attorney.
Oh, well, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, the city attorney. I don't think that needs much explanation.
No.
Most people are either for it or against it.
Yeah, and remember yours, the impartial analysis is going to describe everything that's in it, right?
Mine's persuasive.
Yours is persuasive and emphasizing the strong points, really the gist of it.
Right.
And I think that's a good one that people will like, right? Residency for the city attorney. We're probably surprised that it wasn't required in the first place.
Right.
Yeah.
Where I might differ with you in terms of your summarizing is in the last part, where it talks about take action at special meetings and the bonded indebtedness.
Yeah.
The only reason why those are in the ballot question themselves is because there's a legal requirement for adding new powers.
Yeah,
I don't think that's a selling point.
Well, I don't either.
Of this.
And I hadn't figured out how to
address
Yeah, so I don't think you need to sell it. I will describe those things in my impartial analysis. I think for your arguments, again, it's not to hide anything. It's not hidden. It's in the ballot question. It'll be in my impartial analysis. But for your argument, you don't need to touch upon everything that's in the ballot question. I like the order of it and the alignment of it. But those really things fall in the category of alignment with state law and best practices, right? Those are just examples of that, really, in the end of the day.
And so
I don't think you need to explain and advocate for them because those are just odd things, really, in the grand scheme.
I agree. I consider it to be umbrellaed, like in the mission statement, that we're after compliance, we're after correction. So you don't need to get into specific.
Right.
Yeah, you don't need to try to convince somebody to buy a frog when they don't want to buy it. So.
Yeah, and the bonded indebtedness, you can't, that's just...
Well, even I thought, what was that?
Yeah. So, yeah. Not, again,
but
really
I think that was that section
legal compliance.
1005 or whatever it was that I read and knew all the words and didn't understand.
Yeah, of all the things, that was the most technical part of it with advice and input from bond counsel. And it's hardly a selling point and would be hard for you to explain and advocate. I don't think you need to.
Okay. That makes sense. I don't know. Commissioner Nzunza, do you have anything to add?
No, I concur with everyone saying.
Okay. Commissioner Opita?
I'm good, other than just reinforcing the point that we should keep the language as simple as possible so that people don't get overwhelmed by the language. So that they understand the basic points we're presenting without being too verbose and technical. Because people don't understand legal, terminology, unless you're a lawyer.
No, and even then.
I'm writing these down, so I have a checklist now. When I write something, I can go back and...
Write it like you're a Union Tribune reporter. Was that seventh grade language or something? Yeah.
Well, in the newspaper, you write... Most important thing is the first, and the rest is all filler because the editor can start chopping it off.
Yeah, the inverted triangle. Yeah, that's what
but,
it's
Mr. Chair, Megan just pointed out a really good point, and I like the Prop A one too. I think that is a good model, the one that Mayor Cox did.
Yeah.
I think I may even have, I probably like it because I think I had input on it. Anytime I see myself in the mirror, I think.
Conflict of interest.
One of the things, points that she made, and I think it is a point that we've made and that is a selling point, is the cost savings, of some of these measures. You know, the mail ballot could generate cost savings. There's expected efficiencies and cost savings in different elements.
In making the charter more
best practices
usable.
Cost efficient city operations to save taxpayer resources.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That is a winner, and it's true. Has the added value being true
in the staff report? If it's helpful,
wait. Something resource taxpayer resources.
Yeah, taxpayer.
And I mean, you don't need to use that term.
No, but that's the term that will trigger
it. Save taxpayer's money.
Saving taxpayer money, that's what the trigger will be.
In the staff report for the item last night, and probably in previous ones too, you can reference if you need a little more information about the money. They talk about, the end of the staff report has a section that's called the ongoing fiscal impact, and that kind of summarizes the potential cost savings, because they talk about what would cost for a typical election versus the all-mail ballot. So just if you needed a little bit of context, it also talks about savings from being able to publish online versus in the newspaper, because we have to provide that in all of our staff reports. Mm-hmm. So that might be helpful to review on the in the staff report. It's not in the presentation, but in the...
That'll be, and that's, and publishing online is something that people... Will
just from last night?
Yeah, I can give my copy staff from last night.
Yeah, and it's been in all of them. And that doesn't mean you need to be specific on dollars. Just, right. It gives you order of magnitude. Tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands.
Just last
then a general statement of overall operational efficiency.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah, so that would be good towards the end. As a sort of summary, you know, to vote for this, because, okay. Yeah, so I start with what's happening, the process, 3 points, explain a little bit why they're good points. Again, go back to the goals so people can read and understand. Cost savings.
Yeah.
Cost savings.
I
was thinking it's fair to mention that the city council and mayor voted 5-0. Is that true?
That is true.
Yesterday.
Yeah, it's kind of the reverse of what it was before, right? You guys didn't vote 7-0. So
no,
you may not want to, but you could say the Charter Review Commission endorsed and approved 5-0 by the city council to put on the ballot. Yeah. You could definitely say that, and that's a typical...
Endorsed by the Charter Review Commission.
Yeah.
And approved unanimously by
approved
the city
council. Unanimously by the city council for your consideration. Those are typical, I think...
Yes.
That, I think
vote
that,
yes on...
That was prop... I think that's in even the mayor's Prop A one,
Prop
too.
A, yeah.
And we will have the letter for you. The clerk's office thinks by this Friday they'll know the. We should get a letter with the county registrar indicating what this measure is going to be named.
The name. Okay, I was wondering about that.
Yeah, they're not props any longer, right? They're measures now. They changed the nomenclature, but
so
hopefully we'll get a cool letter.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's a C.
Measure Z.
Yeah.
Zombies.
Measure A.
Charter changes. We need a C.
C for charter. Measure Cha.
I don't know how they assign
measure
the letter.
Yeah.
Is it like hurricanes or whatever? They keep going through the
alphabet.
They actually cycle through and then have to replace it every couple of years. So when the cannabis measure was Measure Q. They go through the entire alphabet countywide and then start all over.
Right.
So every couple of years they recycle through.
So it's based on the county.
Yes, it's not our numbering, it's the
it's not based on the state proposition.
No.
So we have to give it a title that's going to appear where?
So the you're limited on how the title can read, and it can only read argument in favor of measure whatever. That has to be the title.
Yeah,
you can't create your own title.
Oh, so, okay.
And ours doesn't have a title, it's just a ballot question.
Right.
We don't call it anything.
And then you will have a separate section of the informal analysis.
Yeah, my impartial analysis would be a whole separate thing that I'll produce, and mine's due on the 19th, I think, the day after yours.
Just for curiosity, well, never mind.
If you want, I'll be on your subcommittee, and I'll review your draft before you send it to Glenn if you want.
Oh, okay. That would be helpful, I think.
I could also help copy edit, because that's kind of like my profession.
Now, do we need to meet to do that, or can I just send it to them?
You can do it. You can communicate any which way you want, as long as it's only amongst the three of you and doesn't expand beyond.
Okay.
Send it by email.
How do Commissioner Zinzin's addition review?
I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, okay. Email?
That's fine.
Okay, I know I have yours. I don't know if I have yours, but I can get it from Dora.
Yeah.
Okay, so, yeah, that's a good idea. That should help relieve some of the work from you guys.
Okay. Yeah, that's create more work, depending upon what you
have. No. I've been spending like the last week dealing with some guy up in LA's settlement agreement, and it's like, what, did you get paid by the word on this thing, or what?
And Jan, you know I just enjoy teasing you.
Yeah.
My stuff is.
But ultimately, it's my name on there, so I'm going to want to say what I want to say.
Well, yeah, definitely.
In terms of word, wordsmithing and that kind of stuff. Key elements or concepts, I really want to include pretty much what everyone says as best I can.
So what's the word limit again?
300 words.
300 words, okay.
Consensus.
Yeah, it should only take you.
So it's a little over half a page.
2 minutes to read, right?
Right. Or sometimes the wordsmithing.
Which is why doing it in a forum like this, because you know that voters aren't going to be spending more than 2 minutes reading it, too.
Right.
So it's like did you say 2 minutes?
It's like resumes.
Two seconds.
When you send a resume in, you got about
read any
5 seconds to get their attention first on the resume, or it's gone. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. Other comments or questions about this part of the process?
It was so nice to get out of the meeting so quick last night.
Yeah.
Well, that's where I'm heading tonight.
It was a pleasant surprise.
Okay, so I can move on to 4.2. Everyone agrees? I see all the heads nodding. Annual activity report. So I wrote this.
Really big font.
I don't know what font I wrote it in, but that's... this is your first you've seen it, I think, unless you looked at it.
I looked at the document.
In advance. I'll give you a couple minutes to look at it.
Yeah, that's it. Do we have to approve it?
Yes. Well, I don't know if we have to, but I would like you to. This gets sent to City Council.
City Council, yeah.
And there in the City Council, all the council members. And also to...
Do we need?
City Attorney and the City Manager. Huh?
You need approval from the
charter? I don't think we need approval, but...
And it's really up to you. I don't think there's a specific requirement for it. You're getting input, and by consensus, everyone can tell you they're okay
with
you sending it.
I'm okay with it.
Okay, and I see a thumbs up from Commissioner Zinzin.
Consensus support for...
Okay, it doesn't have to be perfect, because it's not a legal document.
You could have written something catty in there about some of the council members. But...
Does anybody have
a party shot?
I did not like when that government code section got brought up yesterday. It's like, well, that should have been brought up the meeting before this, you know?
Right.
And some of the other council members got onto that too. So.
For those of all the agenda there.
Especially since she couldn't get it on her phone.
Okay, so that's 4.2. Other business. Staff comments?
We have one item of potential business for the group, Mr. Chair, and that is consideration of an agenda, of scheduling a meeting and an agenda for your next meeting. One of the things that this group talked about, and I know that the City Council liked the sound of, was putting some sort of kind of FAQ kind of document together, which we're happy to take, the lead on. Making this commission either at large or representatives of this commission available at a public hearing or two To allow the public to come, ask questions, and get responses from, you know, the creators and proponents of the charter update, you know, itself. And so I think there was an appetite for that here. I think there's a little bit of an expectation that now, you know, be done, to the extent that this is this comprehensive big deal thing, right, that we want people to think, understand is a big deal. I think it does make sense to go through that. I don't have a particular idea or times or anything yet, and it's not on the agenda for us to discuss it, but it seems like in the near future at our next meeting, that's probably worth you all agendizing and talking about it. We'll have had an opportunity to give it some additional thought, and probably all you will as well, to come up with a program, and that's what it would be listed, discussion, you know, and approval of a program for, you know, community outreach. And then we'll obviously be available at a staff level to help you implement whatever you come up with. One of the things we'll talk about with you then as well will be the important difference between providing information and advocacy. You are absolutely authorized, and it's appropriate and lawful for you to advocate in your arguments in favor. But once you've done that and it's on the ballot, no city resources can be used to advocate for the electorate's approval. We can, however, and it's certainly appropriate in this case, offer information, you know, for folks, and that's what this would be. Right. And there's some subtlety to it, but I'm confident we'll be able to navigate that, and it'll be a worthwhile enterprise.
So to that end, if we had outreach meetings in different locations of the city, could we have them in rec centers, or would we have to avoid rec centers?
No, you could have them in rec centers because they would be informational sessions. Okay. Nothing
or
that
library.
I'm proposing that, yeah, or a library. Nothing that I'm proposing would would naturally use city resources, and so no content would be advocacy. It would be all information.
Okay.
Now, if someone asks you the question, why are you guys in support of this? You could answer, I'm in support of it because.
Right.
But we're
right.
not supposed to design a program and affirmatively
you must vote for this
ask,
kind of thing.
You can't right. ask people to vote for it.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, we could talk about all those details next time.
That's
when,
right.
When
because obviously this would occur in October. It's not going to happen in September. It's right. too far in advance of the election.
Yeah.
And you don't want it in the first couple days of November because it's too close to the election. The last 2 weeks of October, something like that.
That seems right. And you're right. We should discuss all the details of it when we've got it on the agenda and it's scheduled.
And when do the ballots go out?
Good question.
I don't know the answer to that. It will be before October, so it is possible that people will already have mailed in their ballots before the information goes up.
Okay.
We could definitely
we
have...
We could do something shortly after the ballots go out. And, I mean, we could do more than one.
Yes, we'll find that out and have that information available for the next meeting.
Okay.
So I guess the order of business now, more than anything, would be to choose the date for the next meeting. What would be the normal sequence for that?
September 14th, 6 p.m.
Yeah.
September 14th.
I am gone out of the country. But we could, you don't have to have me. You know,
I'll be here.
Vice chair. Or we could try for the 21st instead. I don't know. That's not the normal schedule, and we have three people.
I won't be here then, but I'm not necessary. I'm necessary for it as well, Chair. Arguably, you're more necessary to it than me.
Well, one of you needs to do that.
And Megan will be here.
I will be here.
21st.
Yes.
Well,
I will be here. Yes, the 21st, the 14th, the 7th. Any of those Wednesdays.
7th, I'm going to.
Any of those Wednesdays in September.
Well, who knows? Plans change in the age of COVID. So.
Yeah.
Sure.
And it can be a special meeting as well, depending upon people's, you know, availability.
Yeah, that's
polling.
Yeah. So the question is, do you want to? I think we want to have some kind of meeting. Everybody agrees with that.
Yeah.
Do you want to try and reschedule it for the 21st when I could be here? Knock on wood? Or do you want to go on the 14th when I'm likely not here?
I think the 21st makes more sense to me. I'm available both on my birthday, the 14th, and on the 21st. Because, you know, somebody's modeled the behavior of showing up on their
How
birthday.
How to conduct yourself
so.
During one's birthday.
go to work like any other day. And maybe they buy you a cake. Okay, what, 21st sound feasible?
Yeah, I'm looking at my calendar, I'm fine.
Yeah, I think 21st works. I'm going to be gone the first week of October, though. I'll be out of town.
I don't know about the 21st right now.
Is possible conflict? Yeah. Or you just don't know?
I don't know. There's a possible conflict.
Shall we send something out or ask Doris to do that and capture Todd and Rachel's calendar availability as well?
Yeah, I mean, what I would say for the record is that the next meeting, I mean, I think the chair can call the next meeting and see if there's interest, would be the 21st of September.
That's fine.
We might alternatively the 22nd. I don't know if that's an alternative date. I don't know if it helps.
No, it wouldn't help.
It doesn't help. Okay, 21st. It's a Wednesday. That's what people are used to.
Audrey's play at 6:40 that day.
On the weekend?
No, just joking.
This month.
Perfect. You can have it on your phone.
No, it's next week. They're playing at 6:40 on Thursday. Anyway, okay, so I'm going to try and call the meeting, and Doris can send stuff out to see availability of people. Maybe sooner rather than later.
Fair enough.
And this would be to discuss, it's a special meeting, discuss items on the agenda. We'll see what all's on there.
And we might endeavor to have FAQs drafted and together before, you know, and presented to you for your kind of consideration and input on that date.
Okay.
Mr. Chair.
Any other staff comments?
No.
Okay, chair's comments. I actually have, info sessions, we already covered that, so that was one of my things. One of them I'll skip till the next meeting, setting up the next meeting is already on there, and what? I can't read my writing.
Sure you didn't go to med school?
I didn't go. Oh, the special meeting, is it? Can we put on the agenda that we want to have a motion to make? I believe we changed our meetings from a regular meeting every four and then special meetings, but I think we should just go back to special meetings every month. I mean, regular meetings every month, and then they can always be canceled. But I could do that far in advance so that the city staff doesn't have to go through all this rigmarole work when we know the meeting's not going to be held.
So we'll put on it. You can't really decide or deliberate on that now, but we can
have. No, put it on the agenda for next time.
Mm-hmm. For how to schedule. Yep.
Yeah. And then we'll probably be pretty busy in September, but maybe in October we can put on something. I'd like to talk about some topics for the future. We already have ranked choice voting as mm-hmm. one of them, and there might be a couple more. That's all. I have a question for you at the end, totally unrelated to charter review. Yes.
So I was going to say about for future work, ranked choice voting or an alternate voting system was a really big deal with the city council. It makes sense for a lot of different reasons. So I think a lot of our focus going forward should be studying it, figuring out how we want to draft it. It's not something that needs to be done right away because realistically the county registrar of voters isn't set up to handle it yet anyway, but the city of San Diego is starting to go in that direction, so you know we need to stay on top of this. And then the other thing would probably be mail-in ballots for roll elections, and then to address council member Cardenas's issue, does that mean drop-off boxes at the same time, something like that.
Yeah, I think that could be on the agenda for next time to discuss about goals and topics for the coming year. It's half over for our term, really, but that could be on the agenda. Doris, I'll write down certain points to put on the agenda.
Okay.
Some of that might go in October, though, not September.
And the other thing would be like conflict counsel. In other words,
they
did not say, no, we don't need this. They wanted more study and more information about it, so we could go ahead, and I really think we should, because legally there's an inherent conflict in the way it is currently written, so you know, we'll help the council out to deal with that. Plus, we're going to have 4 new council members.
Yep.
So, we can help educate them.
Yeah, I was wondering if it's appropriate for us to meet with the new council members on an individual basis, or me, or Jan, or two of us.
Not really.
Not appropriate.
Yeah.
Okay. That's fine.
Yeah.
I just didn't know.
Well, it's not a nefarious inquiry. It's just...
They need to learn what we do.
The things from council to this group are supposed to be them deliberating and providing it to you. No individual council member is really based on kind of the separation and the structure of the city, supposed to interact and try to influence what you come up with. So we've tried to safeguard that with respect to all committees, just like the council member shouldn't be calling the chair of the planning commission, right, and going, hey, this is what I think about this, that, or the other thing. We like to treat people with the same independence and sanctity.
That's good. That's fine.
One thing you could do, which this group has done before with mixed results, is if you have questions about your work plan or priorities, because this group has gone through work effort before and it's landed with a thud, to make sure, you know, to develop a form of communications with the council to make sure that what you're doing is not going to catch them by surprise, and it's something that they'll be prepared for. You don't have to get their buy-in in advance, but if 4 of them tell you in a workshop or otherwise, we don't want to see this again, and you put it in front of them, well, that's a lot of wasted time and effort not useful.
This is a theoretical question. You know, could we do a request to do a presentation, very short, saying these are some of the things we're interested in doing,
provide a report at the council meeting?
At the council meeting.
100%. So at your October meeting, when you talk about your work plan, not a bad idea to give the council not just a sniff, but, you know, an input and ratification of your work plan.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Next on here, it says commissioners' comments. Are there any?
I participated in the ethics board. Interviews, and I was extremely impressed with the caliber of candidates. We interviewed 4 individuals on the 27th. We had a 5th one scheduled, but something happened and that individual didn't make it. And then we had another candidate in between the time of submitting who added his resume. So there's 2 more interviews that we will most likely accomplish. There are 4 openings, and all of the candidates that we interviewed we found to be acceptable, and we ranked them for, you know, number 1, number 2, number 3, number 4 candidate, and it was a diverse group with a lot of experience that I feel really confident that any of those individuals could contribute, you know, positively.
Now, who makes the final choice?
We select and rank the acceptable, and then the board takes it to the council. I think the board takes it to the council.
Yeah, council ultimately approves.
Right, ultimately, okay.
Yeah. But it's the 2 interviews, Carmen and I, she's on the ethics board, and I'm just the support.
Well, you're on the Charter Review Commission. I mean, that's the requirement.
That's right.
You're more than support.
It's interesting because I have, do other commissions do it this way?
No.
Yeah, I was saying.
I don't know that I can think of another one that does it this way.
Okay.
No, we've worked to exalt this group's status, rightfully so.
Okay. Yeah, I contacted somebody from that because I didn't hear about when the interviews were and stuff. I had expected to be in another room just in case.
Yeah,
but that's fine.
I expected to see you there, so I thought maybe you had a schedule conflict.
No, I contacted them and they said, no, we've got it all set up, and you don't need to come.
Yeah, it was, as always, very well supported by Stephanie's package that you can go within 2 seconds and find any particular phrase. It was a very impressive process, very impressive candidates, and I was just privileged to be a part of it.
Yeah, that's great. If the our measure passes, I've already started making little notes about things that'll have to change on the website on the oath of office. I don't know what they do for non-residents already. I pledge to defend the United States if you're not a citizen. I don't know.
That's dictated by state law, so they're going to have to pledge that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. They're just questions. I don't know how it works.
Yeah.
So anyway, but anyway, that's something. Okay, any other commissioner comments? So, I guess we're ready to adjourn. Hopefully, to the next meeting on September 21st at 6 p.m.
Very good. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks you, everyone.
Happy birthday, Glenn.
Yes.
Hey, you're Leo? Hey.
Go celebrate. That's a direct order.
You know something special about
that surprise you?
It is 7 p.m.
I turn 50 this Saturday. I'm ready.
Right on.
I've accepted my fate.
Woo-hoo. What I wouldn't give to be 50.
Stop dyeing my hair years ago. I'm just letting it all go.
I turned 46 last month. So.
Oh, really?